Tech on the Mighty 690 KGGF as we continue our talks with the K-State Extension District as it is Wildcat Wednesday here on a cool Wednesday morning. Jerry Guerin and Jacob Weber back with us as we continue our talks here this morning. And, of course, you can hear any bit of Jerry's and Jacob's first bit on our website, kggfradio.com, under the Community tab. You can research and re-listen to these interviews at your convenience. So, Jerry, though, we wanted to hit on a couple of things, a couple of courses you guys have got put on, Women in Ag and Trapping. So let's start just simply with the Women in Agriculture.
All right. Well, it's coming up on the 29th of this month, so right around the corner. But it's going to be at ICC West in Independence, so any local listeners, you're welcome to attend that. The program will run from about 9 to 1, so kind of a good long morning. But we have a variety of speakers set for that day. The NRCS, they will talk about a wide variety of things, but it will include soil health, buffer and filter strips, precision grid soil sampling, and high tunnels. So they've got some cost share stuff on there they'll talk about. The FSA office will talk about farm loans, farm storage facility loans, county committee, and their livestock forage program. They've been getting a ton of questions on the LFP program, so that'll be a good topic this year. And then we'll also hear from Dr. Jamie Lynn Farney from K-State. Her topic is, what's in my cattle feed and does it meet my objectives? And I think that'll be a good topic this year, just people chopping corn for silage and just using kind of other roughages since hay is pretty short. Also on the list will be Ashley Stiffarm, our district forester. We'll also hear from Montgomery Elk, Chautauqua, and Willsee Conservation Districts, some education outreach stuff. And then the final speaker for the day will be Curran Salter. He is the feral swine biologist for the state of Kansas, and he's going to talk about wild hog control. So we've been getting a lot more concerns and questions about feral hogs in the area, especially here in Montgomery County. So I think he'll be a good speaker to wrap the day up. So if you're interested in attending the Women in Ag meeting, and there is also a complimentary lunch sponsored by Equity Bank. So we are asking for reservations just so we know kind of a meal count number, but it is free. But you can call at 620-331-4860 extension 2.
Awesome. Yeah. And I do appreciate, you know, classes and courses, regardless of how you learn, of how, you know, the better way you learn, hands on or lecture style, whichever way. But hearing multiple voices, multiple, you know, sides and points of view. And it's just an easy way to gather, you know, a lot of information that surely you weren't aware of originally. And then not only that, but pass along notes with other community members and the speakers as well. I'm sure we'll be more than happy to answer some other questions as well. So it says Women in Agriculture. So I'm assuming it is for women.
Is it all ages? Welcome. Okay. All ages. We do have a few men come to these, but the topics are kind of more centered and focused on helping women in agriculture and maybe some of the topics kind of address some of the things that they are more concerned about. But it's open to anyone.
Open to anyone. And obviously age-wise, when it becomes relevant to a young girl, obviously if you need that kind of information or that's kind of the path that you want to go down, easy way to get that information as well. And then again, you know, speaking with the professionals, speaking with people that do it every day, it's an easy way to gain knowledge upon that as well. So sweet. The Women in Ag, let's just go ahead and tag, you know, when it is, where it is, and how to get involved as well.
Yep. Wednesday, August 29th at ICC West in Independence. It's going to run from 9 to 1. Registration will begin at 8:30. Again, if you're interested in that, you can call to register at 620-331-4860 extension 2.
Awesome. Thank you very much. So that is the Women in Agriculture. Now, you guys also have another course putting on the Trapping School.
Yeah, we've got a Trapping School coming up. This is actually a collaboration with the Rolling Prairie District, which is Elk and Chautauqua, so our neighbors to the west. But basically, Charlie Lee, who is our wildlife specialist out of K-State, he's going to come down. He's actually going to set several traps during the day before the meeting, and so we're going to have those traps set at a local ranch, and then the meeting on the 27th of September will run from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Caney Rec Center, And he's going to talk about a variety of topics such as, you know, where to scout for coyotes, just some different biology and essential information about trapping coyotes, different trapping sets, different types of traps, you know, such as snares or leg hold, box trap, and then different lures and baits. And so, again, that'll be from 5 to 8 p.m. on the 27th. And then the following day, on the 28th of September, anyone who attended before, if they're interested, they can come out to the ranch location at 7 a.m. and check traps. So hopefully we'll have a successful trapping day. Charlie Lee, I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, just off of a curious question here, is it more of like a relocation purpose for the coyote? Because obviously they're a nuisance for, you know, smaller animals, farm animals, I'm sure, you know, chickens, I can imagine they just go missing like crazy when there's a coyote issue.
Yeah.
Is it like a relocation type or?
Well, coyotes are interesting because they are very adaptive to any environment. So we have seen their population numbers continuing to rise through the years when we look at them compared to other fur bears, such as your bobcat, raccoon, fox. They all have stayed pretty steady, but coyotes continue to keep growing. So they become quite a nuisance, especially to a lot of people who are lambing or kidding, sometimes small calves. And even household pets, they can they can be an issue. So these will probably not be relocated. But however, it is something. There is a trapping season, and it runs from about the middle of November through the middle of February. However, if you are a legal landowner or tenant, there are some things you can do if you have problem coyotes in your area. And that's how this whole started. Just somebody had some problem issues, and then it kind of got turned into a meeting.
Yeah, so. More referred as a population control.
Yes.
We'll refer to it as, certainly.
Yes.
Not catch and release.
It is not catch and release. No kidding. So, yeah, I'm sure, you know, for people, like you said, lambing, or it would be an issue. So there is, you know, is there a part of the year where they kind of come out a little bit more often?
Well, I would say you really start to see coyotes. Well, there's several times a year that they're an issue, and then that we see more of them. Mm-hmm. So the pups start coming out of the den around June. So about midsummer, you start to see a lot of young coyotes, and you see a lot of coyotes along the road. These are the ones that are just kind of learning the ropes. And so you start to see several in the summer. I think we get into issues with them more in the winter when their food gets more scarce.
Yeah.
You know, through the winter months, they're getting hungry. And so that's when they can become more of a nuisance and problem animal. But yeah, you kind of see them this time of year pretty regularly.
Yeah, and they certainly have no issue with trespassing wherever they please, no doubt about it. So once again, just tag, you know, when it is, how to get involved, and where it's happening.
Yeah, so again, this will be at the Caney Rec Center on September 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. And then again, checking the traps on the morning of the 28th if you're interested in that at 7 a.m. But if you are interested, you can call 620-725-5890.
Awesome. Great couple of courses that you guys are putting on. Women in Agriculture and Trapping courses, as well as the coyote season. As you know, Jerry was saying, the pups are starting to grow up now. So they are, once the food starts to get a little bit more scarce, they're going to be a little bit more of in your face than what you might think. So maybe a good course to take there.
Is there a fur season for coyotes?
Coyotes are not listed as a fur bearer, so legally you don't have to stay within the fur harvesting season. But in terms of selling furs, if that's your objective, that's when it's usually a lot easier to sell the fur. So I would say that's when most people kind of get ramped up, and it's no fun to drag around a bunch of traps through the woods in the middle of summer. Yeah. Not only is a hot muggy, but the ticks and chiggers are also bad. Yeah. So.
Oh, man. I haven't had my experience with chiggers yet, but I don't think I want to.
Yeah. You've never had chiggers?
No, I don't think we ever even had an issue with them in Colorado. I don't know if they're common.
Colorado, you would probably wouldn't see too many because they don't survive.
Got a couple ticks, no doubt about.
They really do better in a warm, humid environment.
A little bit more humidity
we have here in this area.
Certainly, yeah. So it had a couple ticks, no shying away from that one. But
yeah, we'll have to take Sam out with us sometime.
Oh, I was worried. 4th of July, you know, I was worried. I was out at the park and I was wearing shorts and it was just like, oh man, I've got a bad feeling about this one. But I walked away unscathed. Had a couple mosquito bites, but that's kind of kind of given with a summer night. So
well, there are some people that don't get chiggers. Not very many. They're just too sour or something like that.
I hope. Well, I'll tell you what. I attract more mosquitoes than anybody out there, so I don't think it's sour blood by any means.
If there's
a
chigger within a block radius and I step out, that chigger's going to be crawling towards me.
They just know. They've got your number, Jacob.
They like me.
And they connect with each other. They call each other like, hey, Jacob's out. Yep. Everybody meets up. So speaking of that, the rise in humidity not only brings out some chiggers, but it also brings out some things popping up everywhere in people's yards
The fairy rings are really fantastic now. They're all over the place.
Oh,
fairy
man.
Rings. Okay. They're mushrooms.
Yeah.
Mushrooms that pop up in the lawns. And they just, if you look at them, sometimes you can see that they go in a kind of an arc or a circle. So I have occasionally seen some that almost form a complete circle.
Yeah.
And these are perennial fungal growths within a given area, usually in grassy areas. And the reason we see them more so in lawns is because the lawns are mowed, so the rings are, the mushrooms are more visible. And the question I got this week was, are they edible? Are these, I have no idea if they're edible or not. But I can say, I'm not a mushroom expert, I say, the best mushrooms to eat are the ones that you buy in the store. Because don't eat mushrooms unless you absolutely know for certain that they are edible. And if you need help, get a mushroom expert. Don't get somebody that says, I think they're edible. Because you can end up with some pretty serious issues. You can even die eating some of the mushrooms.
Even in our area?
Yes.
Yeah.
There are edible wild mushrooms, but I can't tell you which ones they are, because I'm not going to accept the responsibility of telling anybody to eat something and they end up getting sick and dying from it, or worse. That's the worst part. You can damage your kidneys. There's some other issues that can happen eating mushrooms. It may take years to recover from it. So don't just go out and pick up a mushroom off the lawn and pop in your mouth. Bad idea.
Not throwing it on the salad this week.
Okay, that being the case, don't try to get rid of the mushrooms that grow on your lawn. If you mow them off, that doesn't do anything because mushrooms are in a fungal organism. Most of the mass of the fungal organism still invisible. It's growing in the soil, and the mushrooms themselves are just a reproductive phase of the fungal body itself. They just it produces a very dense mat of called hypha, little strands of fungal material that come together, and then they produce the spore producing structure inside that cap. Then those gills, they're producing spores. The spores are dispersed into the air. They're airborne and they'll spread not only just right in the immediate area, but they'll spread for miles. And of course, that's part of them, you know, the season of allergies. I don't know if people are allergic to mushroom spores, but it can cause some issues. But you cannot get rid of the mushroom, the fungal body in the soil. It's there. It's perennial.
Yeah, I've kind of noticed that every time they mow the lawn, it gets a little worse in that in particular area right there. And like you were saying as well, it's just kind of the common theme of, you know, late summer, heavy rainfall, and heavy humidity levels.
It's an ideal environment for the mushrooms to sporulate and produce offspring. And of the billions of spores that are produced, very few actually end up producing a new mushroom colony.
Certainly. All righty. With the Wildcat Extension District, we're speaking with Jerry Guerin this morning and Jacob Weber. Thank you, too, for spending some time with us, and we will speak upon next Wednesday. So
we will see you later.
Awesome. Thank you, guys, very much. This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.